As we begin the program this morning, I would like to apologize to all you listeners for not wishing you a wonderful and safe 4th of July. Now, I'm recording this sermon actually before the 4th of July, and so it will not be aired until the Sunday following the 4th, if the Lord tarries in His coming. So I wanted to mention that. And I think it would be good this morning for us to ask this question, having celebrated the 4th. What are the most important freedoms that we can have in this life? And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. PFE, those initials will help us remember that's what we need to be doing every day. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as of course we're studying God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And then as we come together to worship God, we strive to worship God in spirit and in truth, having a proper attitude, but also following the pattern in the New Testament which God has given us. That's John 4:24. And we want to mention this: if you are interested in having a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. And if you have Bible questions you would like to ask, your comments are always appreciated, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, where you'll find our sermons and bulletins and other information, is www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. And one other thing, the fair is going on. If this is again aired on the Sunday following the 4th of July, so we hope you'll stop by our fair booth in the Merchants Building and tell us that you listen to the program. We'd like to meet you, of course. We have free Bible materials, Bible correspondence courses are available, and of course, questions while we meet one another would be fine too. So look forward to seeing you at the fair booth. A number of our members will be manning the booth, and so we hope that you'll stop by. Let's get into our study this morning. What are the most important freedoms that we can have in this life? Well, starting out, we appreciate our heritage here in the USA. Are we not thankful that we were born and grew up in a free country? Now, the word freedom should not be taken lightly, as we are in the process of perhaps losing some of our freedoms already. So we need to understand what this word means. Now, there are, of course, different types of freedoms. Living in a free society. Then there's free from physical illnesses and diseases. Certainly that's good, isn't it, to have good health. Free from addiction. People that are addicted to drugs and alcohol, they have many, many problems. And when they quit and are able to get over their addiction, how much better they feel. Well, we can understand that. Now, the fourth one we're going to mention is free from any law or a do-as-you-please attitude. Now, that's, you know, a bad situation. to have that kind of attitude, is it not? And many people, though, feel like that's the way they should be in life, just free to do as they please, not having any laws to follow, any, you know, boundaries. They don't like that. So that's something we want to avoid, of course. So let's ask this question again. What are the most important freedoms that we can have in this life? Yes, we're thankful for the freedom here in America, but let's talk about the most important freedoms that we can have in this life. So what are they? First of all, freedom from the burden of our sins. That's the top of the list, of course. As Jesus invites us to have rest from the burden of our sins, here is the Lord's invitation. Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So we have a yoke, yes, that we're to take upon us as a Christian, making sacrifices, putting the kingdom of God first, that is the church of Christ, and seeking to do the will of God. And as we learn of Christ, we understand that there are things that we're not to be involved in. Yes, so there is a yoke to bear, but it is easy compared to the burden of sin. Yes, of course it is, and everyone should see that. So that's the invitation that Jesus extends. The question now is, have we answered that invitation with, yes, Lord, I want to do thy will. I want to be a follower of thee and obey the gospel. And so, of course, we stand ready to assist anyone that's of the age of accountability in doing just that. Notice 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Yes, the Lord, he was beaten before he was crucified, was he not? Yes, the physical suffering was great and difficult to even think about. But beyond the physical suffering was the worst suffering, bearing the burden of your sins and mine, bearing the sins of the world, being separated from God the Father. And so we want to appreciate what Jesus went through for us, and submit to his will, because he's a loving Savior. But Satan, he invites us to have rest from the law of Christ. You see the difference? Satan says, do what you feel is right. And many believe his lie, that there's no need to follow the pattern of the New Testament. Just do things in religion as you think they should be done. Is that following the Word of God? Of course not. We're to follow the pattern that God has given us. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. So there's plenty of false teachers to tickle ears and tell people what they want to hear, allowing them to stay in sin, practicing all kinds of perversions and thinking they're all right. Yes, Satan is behind this. How many have been deceived by false religions? Now, false teachers, you know, they may seem very meek, like sheep. Jesus warned of this, Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. In other words, they're going to eat you up. But they have sugar dripping off their lips. But let's go on. As we're asking, what are the most important freedoms here that we can have in this life, here now? Freedom from the burden and cares of this life. Yes, Jesus offers us rest from the burdens and cares of this life. He certainly does. Let's notice Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds, here it is, through Christ Jesus. So Christ is offering us rest from the burdens and cares of this life. Be careful for nothing. In the American Standard, it has, in nothing be anxious. In other words, don't worry. You can't help but think about that song years ago. Don't worry, be happy. Well, with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, He wants us to have rest from the burdens and cares of this life. Look at Galatians 6:2. If we're a Christian, we should be doing what? Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We should be doing that. You know, the Pharisees burdened the people with their traditions. Matthew 23:4, for they bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves would not move them with one of their fingers. Yes, that's right. That's the way they were. Now, here again, Satan offers us rest from the cares of being faithful. Why, there's no need to get up early on Sunday morning. Satan says, you deserve a break. So why not sleep in? Go fishing, hunting, go to the ball game. Sunday night, oh, those are the times of the best TV programs. Why go to the Sunday night service or Wednesday night? You have other things to do. Satan says someone else can be involved in the work of the church. You need to be involved in the cares of the world. That's what he says. Not vocally in our ear, but through the means of those that serve him. Yes, he works through false religions. Well, he works through corrupt governments and worldliness. That's right. He has tools. Look at Ephesians 5:16-17. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Know what the will of the Lord is by studying His Word, His teaching. Spend time with God that way. We pray. Hopefully we're doing that, speaking to God, but He speaks to us through His holy word. There needs to be that communication continually in our daily lives. But let's go on and notice again as we answer, what are the most important freedoms that we can have in this life? Freedom from the burden of being in spiritual darkness. Jesus offers us the truth which shows the way clearly out of spiritual darkness. And the truth is going to lead us to eternal life. That's right. We are no longer deceived by man's philosophies and hoaxes. The hypothesis of evolution. We're not fooled by that. Humanism, leaving out God, and all the different isms that are getting people away from the truth. having a utopian society, all these things are not coming from God. Paradise was lost, and it's not going to be gained here on the earth. Astrology, how many people are involved in their signs and all of that? Burning stars, you think that's the way to go in life? To be listening to your horoscope readings and people that are involved in this? What about fortune telling? Just fooling people? They have no power to know the future. So-called psychics, the California psychics are supposed to be better than the others. They're all frauds, fooling people, getting their money. We could name many others, of course. So, not only are we freed from our sins by obeying the truth, but also we're freed from believing Satan's lies. Let's go to John 8, 31 and 32. Of course, this would serve as our text for our study this morning. John 8, 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if, notice that, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we're made free from our sins by obeying the gospel, learning the truth. Yes, the gospel of Christ. But we're also made free from being in spiritual darkness. You see, once we know the truth, we can recognize the false teachings. We can recognize Satan's deceptions, the lies. You know, truth never changes. It's absolute and it's objective. It's not relative and subjective, as so many want to push in our society, even in our schools. No, sir. The truth is absolute and objective. And the way out of spiritual darkness, of course, is through the light. Yes, notice John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's right. The light of life. Not death, destruction, and all of the bad things. No, we don't want to walk in darkness, do we? But we want to walk in the light and have the light of life. Now notice Acts 26:18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul was taking forth the gospel of Christ. Started out with the Jews and then he went to the Gentiles as well. Yes, we can appreciate the work of the Apostle Paul because he was opening people's eyes with the truth. Yes, and turning them from the power of Satan unto God. And that's what we need to be doing today as members of the Lord's church, getting people out of darkness by sharing with them the gospel of Christ, giving them the opportunity to see the light. The light of Christ. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The kingdom is the church. And whose church is it? Well, it's Christ's church. The church of Christ. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him, here it is, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Have we come out of the darkness? Are we walking in the light as he is in the light, having fellowship one with another, knowing that the blood of Christ continually cleanses us of all our sins? as long as we're having obeyed the gospel and walking faithfully in the light, we have that cleansing of our sins by the blood of Christ. Now Satan offers us rest from the burden of studying the Bible. Why the Bible is so hard, you just can't understand it. No one can understand the Bible. I've heard people say this. How tragic. Well, there are difficult passages, of course, because we study the Word of God all our lives, but we're able to grow, and the more we grow, the more we dig in and get those nuggets out of that mine, those nuggets of gold out of the Word of God. And we're feeding upon the Word of God. As we start out as babes, we're on the milk, but we end up getting the meat. We're able to digest more. And we know, of course, the doctrine of Christ. It's not difficult to understand. Look at Ephesians 4:18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's the problem. It's not that the Bible is too hard to understand. It's because of the blindness of their heart. And that keeps people in ignorance. But the truth comes from Jesus Christ and gives us understanding. Ephesians 4:21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. That's where it is. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Don't listen to Satan's lies. Yes, we need to understand the truth by opening our eyes to it and spending time, study. When we were in school, and if you're still in school, you need to study to pass the test. And hopefully they're still giving proper tests in school and not just passing everyone. You know, that's not going to help people as they get out in life. But you study is the point. Yes, and we can study the Word of God just as we did in school. And we should be studying as young people. Starting out as a child, you can understand basic things. God is good. Things like that. We start out with the little babies, getting them to know about the Bible. Yes. And so, as we close out our study this morning, yes, Jesus speaks of true freedom, which will lift up our souls as we submit to the gospel of Christ. Jesus offers freedom from the burden of our sins, freedom from the burdens and cares of this life, freedom from the burden of being in spiritual darkness. These are the most important freedoms that we can have in this life. That's answering our question, isn't it? Well, what about Satan? What is he offering? Feeling good about being lost, feeling good about being unfaithful, and feeling good about being in the darkness. We don't want to be deceived, do we? No one should want to be deceived. The problem is, people are not realizing they're deceived. But it's time to wake up and understand that we have an offer from the Lord Himself. Which offer of freedom have we chosen? The Lord's offer or our enemy, Satan's offer? Which one? And again, we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel of Christ. What must I do to become a Christian? First of all, I need to understand that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So without the Word of God, I cannot become a Christian. I have to learn the truth, as we've been talking about. The truth is in Jesus. So once I learn the will of God, my faith has come about from the Word of God. I've understood now that Jesus is the Christ. He left heaven, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. You see, that's John 1:14. We understand Jesus is the Christ. So we believe that. Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins, John 8:24. Now, I'm ready to repent. Now, this is the difficult part, where I'm going to give up my way and do God's way instead. I'm going to go in a new direction. I'm giving up my will to do the will of God, and I'm going to get out of sin. If I'm in a sinful marriage, I'm going to get out of that. I'm going to give back what I've stole. I'm repenting, making change of wills, and doing the will of God. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. Now, having repented, I'm ready to make the good confession unto salvation. I'm going to state that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God before others. Now, Romans 10:9-10 make it clear that that's unto salvation. The confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So I'm not there yet, but here, the next step, here's where I'm going to contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away my sins. Now I want us to go to 1 Peter 3:21, and of course the context here was Noah back in verse 20, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. So the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, who misunderstood that? Does baptism save us or not? The Bible says it does, because here's where we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. Romans 6:3, notice, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Since Jesus shed His blood in His death, we know John 19:33-34, the soldier pierced His side and forthwith came out blood and water, but He was already dead. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. As we come up out of that water, we're walking in newness of life. We're born again spiritually. Now note, the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved, and we thank you so much for listening today.